Do you lie awake at night wishing for something better? When you look at your future a year from now, is there a light at the end of that tunnel? Do you feel like you were meant for something more? Opportunity will not come knocking on your door unless you're out there looking for it. How do you do it? Our guests on the Empower Radio Show will be sharing their secret to success. We'll be bringing you authors, speakers, entrepreneurs from many different fields who come from various backgrounds. They will be sharing their stories of success and of early failures. You'll hear about the challenges they faced when they launched their ideas and the creative ways that they overcame obstacles. Our guests will inspire you to find your way down the path to success in this ever-changing world. Jump on board and become empowered.
Hey folks, welcome to Empower Radio Show. I'm your host today, Linda Ballesteros, and we have a really great show today. You know, I always want to be grateful for the time that you spend with me. As I say at the top of all my shows, time is that one commodity that you can't get back. So when someone spends time with you, it certainly should be an honor. And because they can't get that back. If they lose $5, they can replace that. But if they spend some time with you, then they can't get that time back. In my last show, I talked about how franchising had come across my path, and I really had never given much thought to it in the past other than, you know, your Subway, your McDonald's, I thought that was franchising until I was corrected. And so my guest today is Richard Ash, and he's the founder and CEO of Veterans Franchise Advisors. He served in the U.S. Marines, and he has more than 30 years of business development. He's the author of Franchising for Veterans, A Jumpstart to Business Ownership. So help me welcome our guest today, Richard Ash. Rich, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Linda. Nice to be here.
Oh, we'd love for you to be here. And I tell you what, Rich, I am not kidding when I did not really know what franchising was. Now, I've got a corporate background. I have been an entrepreneur for quite some time, but I really did not realize the power of franchising and how many industries that it spanned. Tell me a little bit about how you got into franchising and, discovered the power of that.
Well, it's kind of interesting. It's kind of a long story, but I'll make it short for this program. I actually got into my first business I ever owned, a media distribution consultant, right? We also call it a paper boy when I grew up. And I knew from that point in time that I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I get up every morning. I did what I had to do. I got money in my pocket. My friends were waiting for their parents to give them their allowance. I can go and do whatever I wanted to do. So I always knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur. Fast forward, of course, a number of years later, I went through school, got out of high school, went into the Marine Corps, still trying to figure out the entrepreneurial thing. And when I got out of the Marine Corps, of course, I was still too poor to start my own business. So I went into corporate America and started doing things in corporate America. I opened up my first business, and I had a really, really good partner who kind of brought me on board, and he taught me a lot of things about business ownership and what it takes to be a business owner. My favorite phrase is, just because you know how to cook chicken doesn't mean you can open a chicken business, right? It has, cooking the chicken is only a small part of it. There's a lot more that goes into being a business owner than just having a technical skill set. So my first business was a great success, largely in part to him. We ran the business for almost 5 years. We exited the business. Everybody made some money. I was looking for my next business, went back to corporate America. So I started my second business. I got some market intel and some data and some things like that there, started my second business. And my second business crashed and burned. I mean, it was just all the money that I had made plus some was gone in the second business. And after that second business, I was like, man, there's got to be an easier way to start a business, to mitigate financial risk, to have some tools available so I don't have to recreate the wheel. And I went into my laboratory, also known as the basement, and started researching business ownership and how to start a business and doing all those things that every entrepreneur does when they're starting to think about starting their own business. And in my research, I came across franchising. And I started looking at franchising as, wow, this is a really great method in which you take an existing proven business system and through entrepreneurs replicate this system throughout the world. Everybody knows McDonald's. Everybody's at some point in their time been in McDonald's. McDonald's is the icon for franchising, right? Every McDonald's you go to, no matter where in the States, you go overseas. I go to Buenos Aires once a year. I go to the McDonald's there with my dad because he likes the coffee. But every single one of them goes about delivering the product and service in the exact same way. So everybody knows exactly what you're going to get, how much it's going to cost, what's the standard operating procedure for taking a delivery in the back door and delivering it to your customer in the first door, in the front door. So that really fascinated me that I could go out and invest in something that had already kind of ironed out all the kinks, gave me a map from zero to success, and learning that if you follow that map, the chances of success are greater than if you had tried to do it on your own. So that's kind of how I got into franchising and throughout that process.
You know, Rich, you mentioned several times about a system, a proven system, and plugging into this system. When you're talking about that, it's not just about their system on and their recipe for cooking the chicken. What are the other areas of business can a franchisor help a new franchise with to make sure that their location, that their unit is successful?
Yes, and that's why I kind of like the chicken analogy, right? Mm-hmm. Owning a business is not about the chicken. The chicken is an essential piece of that, or the product or the service that you're delivering is an essential piece of that. But there's marketing, there's sales, who your ideal customer is, what tools are you using to reach those customers? Today, you need to have a website. You need to have Facebook, Pinterest, the LinkedIn, or some sort of channels in which you're going to reach out to your target audience. Understanding all those aspects of the business, not just cooking the chicken, but actually how you're going to reach those customers. Where's the best place to put your restaurant or your storefront or your business is all essential parts of that success recipe. McDonald's, everybody knows McDonald's, so I like to use them as an example. McDonald's spends hours, weeks, months determining whether or not which corner their restaurant is going to go in. Is it going to be the northwest corner, the southeast corner? And they put a lot of energy and effort and analysis into determining which way people go to work, when they come home, how long the stop at the red light is, where to put the drive in. And all those things are essential in attracting and cultivating your customer base. So they teach you everything that you need to know from starting the business, where to locate it, how to negotiate a lease, what equipment you need, a complete list of all the essentials that you need for your business, how to hire an employee. And then if you have questions along the way, you can call them up and ask, hey, how do I do this? Or I'm thinking about running a marketing campaign. Do you think this would work? And you always have that advice and counsel available to you to help you get through some of the hurdles that you're going to run into as an entrepreneur.
Well, you know, Rich, a lot of the things that you've mentioned, the market analysis, the traffic flow, the system, hiring and training. I don't know that your average entrepreneur that is going to build a burger hut is going to, one, go through all of that, and two, they may not even know that all of that needs to be done. So by looking at a franchise, you have access to information that if you started your own business, you wouldn't even think was necessary, right?
That's correct. I always like to say, you don't know what you don't know. So when you start off down a journey, your journey to entrepreneurship, there are so many questions that you don't know that you don't know. When I was going through my process, I realized as I was going through this, wow, I had no idea that this was a linchpin in making everything else work. So that's why it's really key, or it's really helpful to work with somebody who's already been there, been in the business, has been successful with it, knows exactly where all the traps are, knows exactly what the path to success is, and they can help you kind of get through those hurdles.
Oh, absolutely. Now, you know, we've made reference to the food industry several times because it's just the easy one, but I'd like for our listeners to know what other industries, what other business models out there are also franchises.
You know, there's some numbers floating around the internet and things like that that you'll see, but on average, just about every industry that you have out there, is over 90 different industry sectors that has franchises. If you're interested in automotive, there's lots of automotive franchises, oil change, lube, car care, car washes, et cetera, consulting and training. If you like to do business coaching and do training, there's franchises out there. Children's services and products, computers, cell phones, webs, commercial cleaning, residential cleaning, decoration, design, education, employment and staffing. I mean, the list goes on and on. If you're thinking about starting a business, I always tell guys, hey, it's great. You want to be an entrepreneur, you want to start a business. Well, you're going to be competing against other entrepreneurs, but you're also going to be competing against franchise companies, right? Mm-hmm. What franchises have been able to do, and the reason that they dominate the market today, is because it's volume, brand, and scale, right? Go back to the Burger Hut. I'm going to open up the Burger Hut, and I'm going to be paying, you know, 36 cents per burger. Meanwhile, McDonald's has 1 billion served, it paying 12 cents per burger. So you have to make sure that you understand who your competition is out there and how to do that. And one excellent way that I found, especially your first business, is you leverage the franchise model, get the experience, get the business training, get the support, and actually go through that first successful model, and then you can use that in the future to create other businesses and new models in the future.
Mm. Because franchising is a great model. Even if someone owns their own business, if they build their business as an entrepreneur with the same philosophy that you have in a franchise, you're going to have a well-oiled machine, right?
Exactly. That's an excellent point. One of the points in the book E-Myths by Michael E. Gerber is when you're setting up your business, set it up as though you were going to franchise the business. Make sure you understand every nut and bolt that you put together to make this business work. Document your ideal customer, document your marketing plan, document your standard operating procedures for when you bring an employee in, how are you going to get that employee up to speed to best serve your customers and best represent your business, you know, brand book, everything that you need to know about the brand, what it stands for, and things like that. There, all those things are what helps franchises be successful because they can take that blueprint and give it to somebody else who's never run that business before, and that person can follow that blueprint, which is on a path to success. Now, I also want to emphasize, just because you buy a franchise doesn't mean it guarantees success. Franchising is a model. All the pieces and parts are there, but it still requires you to do a lot of hard work, and that's why I like to call it the entrepreneurial side of franchising. Okay, you've got the concept, you've got the pieces and parts, you've got the standard operating procedure. You still have to be entrepreneurial enough to go out there and execute, to shake hands with customers, to go down and meet the other CEOs and the other business people that you're going to be doing business with, to get out into the community and apply your product and your services and make sure that you're connecting with them. As a franchise owner, you're not cooking the chicken. You're out in the front of the restaurant, greeting your customers, making sure they had a good experience, and doing all the things to attract customers to your business. That's very entrepreneurial, and it requires that entrepreneurial mindset and skill set in order to be successful.
And, you know, Rich, another thing that I have learned over these last months with your help is that this is very scalable. I had not even thought about that in the past, but this is very scalable. You can create something that is nothing more than creating a job for yourself, or you can create a whole legacy with multiple units. Tell us a little more about that.
Yeah, there's several layers. There's owner-operator, there's the executive model, there's the investment model. I like to break them down into those three models. The owner-operator starts off really small. It's usually one guy. He opens up a little company. He's the CEO in the morning. He's the sales guy in the afternoon, and he's the janitor at night. And he does all these things. And he starts very, very small and starts to build his business, right? And that business can scale. You know, I've got one unit. I hire a few employees. Hey, I buy another unit. I hire more employees. I get another truck, whatever it is, to grow your business. And you can do that very, very well. I have a young man up in Dallas, Texas. He started off with a junk removal business, right? And his junk removal business, he started off, it was him and the truck and going out and taking junk out of people's houses, right? Couple of months down the line, he says, wow, I'm getting too busy. I had to hire a driver. So now it's him, the driver, and the truck. And then he got a little bit busy a little bit later on. Now it's two trucks. He's in one truck. He's got a driver in the other truck. And he'll continue to expand his operations in that matter, right? But he started off as a single owner operator. The executive model is you go in knowing day one that you're going to need another sales guy or a technician or somebody else within the organization. It's going to be multiple employees day one, right? You're going to be the CEO. I need a sales guy who can go out and knock on doors and track down leads. I need a technician, somebody who delivers the product or service necessary. So that's kind of the executive model. Once again, that grows as well. You open up another firm. Business coaching is one of those areas that do this fairly well, is they open up an office, they have one business coach, he goes out and starts coaching businesses. As they get more clients, they hire another coach, and they open up another firm. So that works really well, but you know day one going in, you're going to need a couple of key employees in order to make this successful. The investment model is simply that. You treat the franchise as a investment portfolio. You go out and you buy 5 Subways. Now, you're not going to be working in any of the Subways. You get a manager. He comes in and he's responsible for the day-to-day oversight and management and operations of each of those 5 restaurants. So he may report to you once a week, once a month on how the business is doing, what challenges they're facing, you know, and things like that there. But you're not into the day-to-day operations of the business. So that's kind of the three models, and all of them scale equally as well, right? It's just a matter of buying another unit, buying another firm, or starting another office somewhere along the line.
Mm-hmm. I mentioned earlier in your introduction that you were in the U.S. Marines. Why do you think that veterans make great franchise owners?
I love that question. I get this question all the time. I work with a lot of veterans. I do the Boots to Business program at Fort Hood, work with the SBA and Texas Veterans Commission, a couple other people, on helping veterans start their own businesses. Veterans inherently have gone through a process in their enlistment, right, where they signed a big contract and they put some value down on that contract, right? And the first thing that they do in the military is they send you off to boot camp. And what you learn in boot camp is how to represent the brand, Army, Navy, Marine Corps, Air Force, Coast Guard, National Guard, whatever. You learn how to represent the brand, how to wear the uniform, what your chain of command is, what your general orders are. learn how to operate within the structure of the military pretty much. So when you get out of boot camp, you know how to represent the brand of the service that you've enlisted in, right? That's pretty much all you know. Right? The next step is to send you off to your military occupational specialty training. They call it your MOS, where they teach you how to do a specific job. If you're going to be a cook, they're not teaching you how to be a helicopter pilot. If you're going to be an artillery guy, they're not teaching you how to be an infantry guy. So you learn a specific job that you're going to be doing and all the aspects of how to do your job. When you get done with your military occupational specialty training, you've got the brand, you know what your skill set is, they assign you to wherever you're going to be doing your work, and if you have questions about your job, you turn to standard operating procedure that you got in training, or you ask your peers, right, other guys who are working with you in the job. If the information isn't there for you to do your job, you run it up the chain of command, you talk to your next senior officer or superior officer, he talks to their superior officer, and it goes all the way up the chain to somebody has an answer. When they have that answer, they run it back down the chain to give you all the information you need to execute your mission, right? That is the exact same process every franchise model uses in order to bring in franchisees, to teach them how the brand and of the business, to teach them the specifics of that particular business. If you're opening up a burger joint, they're not teaching you how to sell embroidery, right? They teach you how to do that specific business. And then when you open up your store, you have opportunity to talk to other franchisees. You call up the franchisor anytime you have an idea, a challenge, a problem. You can always reach out to somebody, and they will come back to you with the answers that you need to continue moving forward in your business. So it's a great fit for veterans to come out of the military having been used to that model, being successful in that model, and then taking that skill set and applying it to their first business or a business opportunity that they select.
Mm-hmm. Rich, you mentioned that you had worked with someone in the Dallas area that had a junk removal, and that junk removal company was a franchise. Do you have another success story of a veteran that came out and was getting ready to jump in civilian life and decided to check out the franchising opportunity and was successful with that?
Yeah, I have a few, but one of my better ones is I met a gentleman out of San Diego, and he had been working at putting this business together with some partners of his, and it wasn't kind of getting to where they needed it to be, and he wanted to do something else. And we had a long conversation, several conversations, about what his passion is, because I think passion is the driver for what you should be looking for in your business, right? If you love what you do, you never have to work a day in your life. Cliche goes, right? And he liked what he did. He was, he was in the C-level position, but it just wasn't giving him the satisfaction that he was getting. And after a couple of conversations, we looked at LinkedIn. He was interested in fitness and things like that there. He was interested in, or he actually gave golf lessons to kids, sports and recreation sort of stuff. He volunteered to help kids and Big Brother sort of scenarios, teach kids different things. And after a couple of conversations, I also looked on his LinkedIn profile and saw that he was involved in martial arts. I said, wow, sports, recreation, martial arts. He's looking for something he can contribute to his community, stay involved in the community. He didn't want to be fully invested. He wanted to hire somebody to come in, but he wanted to have the opportunity to kind of participate in the business. He actually ended up opening a martial arts fitness studio called Nine Round. A very great, very excellent concept. There's the big gyms out there, and then there's some niche boutique gyms as well. Nine Round, inexpensive, it kind of fit right into his budget, didn't have to come out of pocket a whole lot of money. It was is a simple concept to understand, using martial arts techniques to for fitness capabilities, fits right into his neighborhood. It was really, really a great success. He's been running that for a couple of years now. And actually, his wife got promoted, and they had to relocate out of San Diego. And he still has the gym in San Diego that he's running for remotely.
Wow. Well, that is a great story, because he started out with being what you called almost like the owner-operator executive kind of model. And now he is he's probably looking at it more for an investor. Yeah. Yeah,
exactly,
and, but it
exactly.
still tapped into his passion of helping kids and the community. So it kind of tapped into a lot of his needs there.
Exactly, exactly. And he had never mentioned the martial arts thing to me. I actually, you know, connected with him on LinkedIn and started reading his profile and found it in there, you know, kind of among the stuff. And then when I asked him about it, he said, yeah, you know, I really love what I, you know, when I was taking martial arts and doing all this fun stuff. And, you know, I never thought I could leverage that in starting my own business. And after we had that conversation, he realized, hey, I've got an opportunity here to do something that I've always loved. And I can make a business out of it and make money.
Wow. That's great. Rich, I'll tell you what, we're going to take a real quick commercial break here. And when we come back, I'd like for you to maybe talk a little bit about the role of the franchise broker in a transaction and how that can help people to connect and actually find that franchise that's a good fit for them. So folks, we'll be right back shortly with right after this brief commercial break.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Tune in every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. to Tough Talk Christian Radio with Tony Gambone. Tough Talk Christian Radio is for those who want to share and receive expressions of faith that will help you take the next step in your relationship with Christ. Listen in to hear from others about their experiences of faith and the love of Christ. Call in to share your experiences at 347-989-1363. Learn more by going to toughtalkchristianradio.com.
Welcome back, folks. This is Linda Ballesteros, and you've tuned in to Empower Radio Show. My guest today is Richard Ash, and he is absolutely so knowledgeable about the franchise model, and specifically how he's been talking about how he has helped a lot of veterans own their own business by using the franchise model. Now, we were talking about the franchise broker, Rich. What is the role of a franchise broker like yourself in a transaction? And why would someone want to use a broker and not go directly to the franchisor?
You can go directly to the franchisor, but the broker provides you with inside information about the industry, about different ways you can go about getting into a franchise. You know, there's master franchise agreements, there's area developers, there's single unit owners, there's multiple unit owners. There's lots of different gray areas in franchising. They can also help you go through the due diligence process. We talked earlier about you don't know what you don't know. Well, guess what? When you engage with a franchisor, you still don't know what you don't know, right? And a broker helps you kind of prepare for the first conversation with the franchisor. What questions should you ask? What red flags should you look for? How to go about positioning your situation and making sure you're a good fit for them as well. And then there's this big old fat document that every franchisor has to provide. It's called the Franchise Disclosure Document, the FDD. It's usually about 200 plus pages of legalese written by lawyers, for lawyers, and getting through one of those FDDs can be daunting and discouraging. A franchise broker's job is to kind of take some of the emotional weight off of you and to guide you through the process from concept, from finding the right franchise that's going to fit you, preparing you to go through the due diligence process, both with the franchisors and with other franchisees, making sure you do all your homework to educate you about franchising in general, to help you understand the demographics of your area as well. You know, I a few years back, I think it was kind of my first year in business as a franchise broker, I had a young man in northern Minnesota, and he wanted to open up a frozen yogurt franchise.
Oh.
And I asked him why. Yeah, I asked him why, right? He says, well, you know, I was out in San Diego, and you know, there was frozen yogurt franchises everywhere. I came home to Minnesota, and I can't find one anywhere. I said, well, why do you think that is? He says, I don't know. Maybe they haven't just got here yet. I said, well, you know, kind of you have like 30 days of summer and the rest of the year, right? The other 11 months, it's below freezing up there, you know? So frozen yogurt might not be a really good way to go. And he hadn't thought about it from that demographic standpoint. So it's kind of those things, asking you the questions to help you clarify your thinking, to keep you on the right path. Because a franchise investment, probably your second, third largest investment you're ever going to make in your lifetime. It's a very emotional experience. There's going to be highs and lows. You know, hey, I want to start a business. You're on top of the world. When you start looking at what it takes to actually get that business off the ground, to take your idea and put it down in the paper, you're down in the bottom of the valley, right? You figure all that stuff out, and you say, okay, I'm on the way to start my own business, and then you run into financing, right? And that brings you back down into the valley again. So it's a very peak and valley experience to go through making decisions on large investments like that, and the broker is there to help mitigate those peaks and valleys as well as help mitigate your financial risk. I tell soldiers all the time when I do my speaking engagements, you know, how many people here would actually, if, you know, ended up in court, would go there without a lawyer? And not one single hand goes up, right? You go to court, you want a lawyer, right? You have a toothache, you go to a dentist, right? You have something physically wrong with you, you go to a doctor. You want that expertise to ensure that you're going to get the best results out of your experience. And that's what a franchise broker is there for, a good franchise broker. There's some bad ones out there, but franchise brokers, good franchise brokers, they engage with you to help you figure out where your skill sets, where your passions lie, and then help guide you through that entire process, including help, you know, pointing you towards financial institutions that may help you get lending. One of the biggest things I ran into, and I didn't actually know this until I started this business seven years ago, is the IRS allows you to use your retirement funds, your 401k, tax and penalty free to start up your first business. So if you've been saving some money in your 401k and you're looking at it saying, you know, this is not going to get me to my retirement, you can actually use those funds and actually start your first business in franchise.
Wow. Well, that's great information to know, because there are people out there that maybe they are a casualty of the corporate downsizing, and they do have that 401k, and they have plenty of years left. They're not ready to sit on the porch and feed nuts to the squirrels. They still want to do more. So is this one of the reasons that you decided to go into this business, Rich, is to be able to make a difference in other people's lives?
Absolutely. I've been riffed, reorged, corporate downsized, all those things throughout the year. And actually my last downsizing, I had mentioned earlier, I had started a couple of businesses. And I'll tell you one of the major reasons I got into this is I had, you know, after my second business, then found franchising as a method to go forward. And I had, you know, I did follow my own advice, right? find your passion. What are you really passionate about? You know, let's find a business that you're going to love to do. And I've always been a music fan, grew up on music. My father was a jazz pianist in his younger years while he was in the Army and all that fun stuff. So I grew up on music. I love music. I could talk about music and all that fun stuff. Big video guy as well. And I went out and I found a kind of a music concept, music franchise concept, and it included video and music and a little storefront, and people can come in and trade and barter music and all that fun stuff. And I said, wow, this is for me. I can picture myself sitting in my nice little storefront and my Barker Lounger with a cigar in one hand and a nice scotch in the other, and we're talking about, you know, Coltrane and Miles Davis and music and video and all that fun stuff. And I said, this is for me. And I went through the whole process, the due diligence process and all that fun stuff, got the numbers all right, went to the bank. Bank said, thumbs up, yeah, you're good to go. And it just so happens that about two or three days before closing, I was sitting at my job in the cafeteria, and an old friend came up to me and sat down. I said, hey, man, I haven't seen you for a while. Where you been? He said, well, I was up north talking to the powers that be about the music industry and where it's going to go in the future. How are they going to monetize music on the internet? And, you know, and video is going to be right after that. And I'm like, wow, that's really cool. It's great to hear. So what are we thinking about? We're thinking like 3 years, 5 years, where are we at with that? He says, no, we're thinking 12, 18 months before we can do this on the internet. And I was like, oh, my God. And I ran back to my office, picked up the phone, called the CEO of the company and said, hey, I just had this conversation. Here's what I learned. What do you think about this? And how are you going to, you know, what's your strategy for addressing the change in the market that obviously going to happen relatively quickly? He's like, oh, no, we're not worried about that. People are always going to want to go out and, you know, touch and feel and visit the store and have conversations and do that little networking thing between people. And I'm thinking to myself, no way. If I could sit in my boxer shorts in my house and buy music and download videos and do all this stuff, I am not getting up, getting in my car, driving out to a store to do that. I can just do it here, right, and enjoy it. So I actually walked away from that franchise knowing what was coming down the pipe, and I was so lucky. It saved me literally $250,000 in doing that. And that made me go back to say, that's interesting. I wonder how many people don't have that friend that comes down and sits and have that conversation with them that says, hey, guess what? The whole world is changing. This might not be a good idea. And that's when I started looking at, I wonder how many people this happens to on a day-to-day basis and what happens to those people when they go in and don't get the advantage of that sort of due diligence or that sort of insight into a particular market that they're considering going into.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
That's kind of how I got into, let me think about this. And then, you know, corporate life was good. I went on and took another job here, there, and the other place. And I was looking at for another franchise opportunity. I met a gentleman who was out of the Army. This was now, you know, 2009. He had been in franchising for 25-odd years, and he had done some hotel franchising. He had done some other small franchises as well, and he was a real advocate of franchising. And we happened to be discussing the Iraq, Afghanistan, veterans coming back. Unemployment rate at that particular time was about 16%. For veterans, it's closer to 20%. And we were talking about, well, how are we going to help these guys that are coming back expecting to get a job, but still have to take care of their families and all that kind of stuff? How are we going to help them? And we said, well, instead of jobs, let's help them start businesses. And I thought back to the last day that I spent on Marine Corps Air Station El Toro. No longer there. It's gone now. But back in the day, you know, you worked up until the last day that you were going, that you're tour was, I walked in the administrative office. They took my ID card, put it through the shredder, gave me a copy of my medical records and a temporary gate pass and said, next. Right. So I was out. I was out of the Marine Corps. Right. Jumped in my car, drove out the front gate, you know, stood on the side of the road, you know, just as happy as I could be. But wondering, oh, my God, what do I do now? Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I went back to that spot and I said, wow, if somebody had come to me and said, hey, here's your options. Here's some things you can do. You've always wanted to be an entrepreneur. Here's a path that you can get there. I would have cherished that. Right? It would have been a blessing. So I had this opportunity and I said, you know, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back to these guys who are getting out of the military, right? Who don't know what they don't know, who want to start businesses. And I'm going to help them find their way to become successful as their own business owner instead of just taking a job or becoming an employee.
So it's all part of the giving back piece of it that, you know, it comes to a point in our lives, I believe, that it's more than just about the transaction. There has to be something more to it. And that giving back, feeling like you're making a difference, definitely is a motivator for many of us. Rich, if somebody is listening right now and they're going, man, I just want to know more about this. And my son's getting ready to roll off and going to be entering the civilian world, how can they find more about you and the services that you offer?
Oh, I'm all over the place. LinkedIn, you can look up Rich Ash on LinkedIn. You'll see Veteran Franchise Advisors is my website, Veteran Singular Franchise Singular Advisors, ADVISERS.com. is my website. I have a Facebook page as well. So there's lots of different ways. If you're really in a hurry to get a hold of me, you can always call me on my phone. It's 713-849-9642. And you can reach me there or send me an email at rich@veteranfranchiseadvisors.com.
Wonderful. Well, Rich, we're coming down to the end of the show, and I want to make sure that we get those final three questions in. But before we do, is there something else that you would like to share with our listeners, you know, about the services that you offer or that maybe you weren't able to highlight in the interview?
I really love what I do, and I think working with somebody, a mentor, a support team, is really, really important to help you achieve your goals. So find somebody that you like to work with. Find somebody who understands where you're at, and let them help you find and use the tools that's going to help you be successful. And most importantly, mitigate your financial risk. That's what we're here for, is to help you mitigate risk, financial and otherwise, in helping you achieve your goals and success.
Great advice there, Rich. So the final three questions are, when faced with obstacles, what kept you going?
Two things. Passion and obstinance. like I said, I really love what I do. I've been where these guys are at, you know, 30 some odd plus years ago. I understand the military mindset. I understand the challenges they face. I understand their lifestyle. And it's really passion that keeps me going. I want to see every veteran that comes out achieve success, or at least get on the road of success, and want to help them. Obstinance. Don't let walls stop you. One of the biggest things that I encounter in my talking with people and talking to people about exploring business opportunities is there's people around them that say, you know, this is not a good idea. Your idea, you know, I don't think that'll work. This won't work. And these are people who have never run their own business before. So you have to watch out for the naysayers, and they create walls for you, barriers. Obstinance, get over the wall, go around the wall, go through the wall, but there's always going to be someone or something in your way in achieving your success. And your desire and your obstinance will get you through those hurdles. Passion gets me up every morning to have phone calls, to talk with veterans, to go to Fort Hood and network with these guys and figure out, you know, what they want to do and how they want to do it. Obstinance is I never let anybody tell me that I'm going to fail or this isn't going to work. I've been in business 7 years, and I remember month three, somebody looked at me and said, "You're out of your mind. That's not going to work." And I just walked right through them and kept right on going.
Yeah. That's true for no matter what we're doing out there, whether you're in your own business, whether it's a franchise, whether it's just everyday life, you work for somebody else. You just have to have that motivator that keeps you going. So the next question here is, other than a coach, who has influenced you the most?
Oh, this is kind of interesting because the person who has influenced me the most has been my son. Right? I had a son when I was very, very young, 16 years old, and I got an opportunity to grow up while helping him grow up. And he's influenced me to look at life in a different way, not living just for yourself, but living for someone else and having responsibility of someone else. So he's probably been the most influential person in my life. When you're on one knee and you say, "Wow, I can't run another mile," and you know that if you don't and run that mile, that there's other people down the chain that are going to be affected by that. It really gets you, motivates you, it keeps your influence. He brought insight into my decisions, into my thought patterns, into how I deal with life and challenges and things like that there that I don't think I would have if he had not been introduced into my life when he was.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting the decisions that we make when we realize that it's going to impact someone other than just ourselves. That we're not in this by ourselves, that there's other people in it, and our decisions can impact somebody else's life. So the final question here is there one thing that you wish you had known early on that would have saved you time and money that you want to share with our listeners?
Wow, there's like a list of a billion things I wish I had known early on, right? What's the old saying? Hindsight is 20/20. I think the one thing I wish I had known early on, and this is where my obstinance actually works against me. I wish I had known that there were people that you can go and talk to, right? Mm-hmm. That can help you figure stuff out, and you don't have to figure it out all on your own. I think that would have saved me a whole bunch of time. It would have saved me a whole bunch of money. And if you go out and seek out mentors, put together a team of professionals. You know, if you go back to the beginning of our call, if you're going to open a chicken business, go talk to somebody who's run a successful chicken business, right? And get some of their insight, get some of their knowledge. Get a lawyer. You're not a lawyer. Get a lawyer, right? When you write partnerships agreements, employment agreements, contracts with people, lease contracts and things like that, you want a professional there who can look at that information from a legal point of view and make really, really good decisions or help you make really good decisions about that. And finally, get a money guy, somebody who knows money, how to invest your money, how to leverage your money, and all those things. So I think if you put a really, really good team together, if you're going into franchising, get a franchise broker. The broker will probably know a CPA, a lawyer that'll help you review the franchise agreements or not, and things like that there. So put a team together that's going to help accelerate your success and get you to your goals a lot faster. You don't have to figure it out all on your own. There's people out there to help you.
Absolutely, Rich. This has been such great information, and I know our listeners are going to really benefit from this. One more time, how would they get in touch with you if they say, "Rich is my guy. I need to talk to him"?
Yeah, email Rich, R-I-C-H, at Veteran, B-E-T-E-R-A-N, Franchise, F-R-A-N-C-H-I-S-E, Advisors, ADVISERS.com. Website is the same, VeteranFranchiseAdvisors.com. Reach me on Facebook and LinkedIn as well.
Wonderful. Thanks again, Rich. I really appreciate you taking time out of your busy day to share your knowledge with our listeners.
I really enjoyed the conversation, Linda. Hope it helps, and I look forward to helping anybody who's looking to start their own business.
Sounds great. Well, folks, you heard it from Rich that, you know, just because you can cook chicken, that doesn't mean that you need to open a restaurant. And many times, someone that is thinking about franchising, they think restaurant first. Well, that's not all there is. And, I always leave you with a quote. So here's a quote from Sigourney Weaver. It's not somebody that you would necessarily think would have this quote. I hate the word franchise. It makes me think of greasy French fries. So I guess I would say the same thing. I hate the word franchise because in someone's mind, they've just limited the industries to just greasy French fries. There's so much more than that. So just keep your options open and, get educated about it. It could be a great way for you to go. Just explore it. Again, folks, thanks so much for spending time with me today, and I look forward to having you join me next week on Empower Radio Show.
As we close our show today, we want you to know it's time. The time is now for you to cast off the chains of mediocrity and reach for that brass ring. The time is now for taking that giant leap to start a business. Step out of your comfort zone and become the you that you've always dreamed of being. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Empower Radio Show. That's at MPOWERRADIOSHOW. Thank you for being with us today on the Empower Radio Show.